Cafe Tuesday.
Speak up, son.
Above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sim flood of status out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael and Lisa? Can you feel it?
Yeah, I feel it.
I feel it.
Although I feel violated.
Really?
Yeah. Well, talk about BIPCOT, and I'll tell you why.
Because, well, since you feel violated, maybe this ties in. Maybe you need to BIPCOT yourself. The Freedom Fiends,
I did,
and soon to be Michael Dean, is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and advertisers. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Go, Michael, go.
Government-loving advertisers. Well, there's this thing called Concealed Online, which is supposedly an online training course for getting a concealed carry permit in Virginia only, which is weird. So it's concealedonline.com. is the site, and it's got the American flag all over it, and they're all state-o-loving and stuff, and on their Facebook page, they are continuously, or over and over and over, they are showing people on Facebook an ad for them that's got a picture of me holding up my concealed carry permit from like 7 years ago when I first got it. It's a picture that's in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Nima Vedati took this picture of me at my house when we were working on the movie. I'm covering the address with it. And you were like, are you sure that's you? And Lisa's like, yeah, you can tell that's Michael. And I'm like, yeah, look under the picture of me where the signature says Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's me. And under
if I just saw that randomly, I'd be like, what the?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, two people so far have told me about it, that it's come up in their feed or on their ad, you know, on the right side on Twitter or on Facebook. I mean, and somebody actually got a screenshot of it. So we're going to use that with a BIPCOT added on it for the show image tonight. I don't know what I'm going to say to make fun of it. I'm also going to write to them and say, please stop using this. And, you know, I'm not going to like get all, I'm going to shoot you or anything like that. I'm just going to tell them, look, I'm a straight up anarchist who doesn't believe in permits. You are doing yourself harm by using my picture. I think that's the best thing I could do. I think that's far better than threatening them. Like saying, hey, you know, you're using a picture of a guy who doesn't believe in what you're doing, and people know that about me when they see me. So they're never going to, you're hurting yourself by using me, basically.
You are using a picture of a person with a nationally syndicated radio show.
Yeah.
And a stable of hosts to carry the message when you're stable not able to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, yeah, you know what? That doesn't carry as much weight as you'd think it would. I've tried that with, like, tech support and companies that screw you over and like, well, I have a radio show and I'll blah, 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 blah. They're like, I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have, you know, like the person you're talking to doesn't have any power or with that kind of stuff. So they don't care. They're getting minimum wage.
I will mention you specifically, so you will be embarrassed and paid minimum wage.
They don't give their real name either. They're like in India. They say their name is Steve all the time. Their name isn't Steve. They all say their name is Steve. Hello, I am Steve. I will be helping you today.
Oh, hello. I'm Abraham Lincoln. May I help you today?
I am Steve from Detroit, Rock City. So,
you need
we're actually looking. We're going to make fun of the squishy site, concealedonline.com. So what they're selling, first of all, they are based in Burbank, California, a place nobody can get a permit unless they're like a federal judge or, you know, maybe Robert Downey Jr. could get a permit there. Probably not. but the address they give, 2600 West Olive Street, is like a mailbox company. It's like a big office building with, I think this is somebody from their house, really. But they're trying to sell a system where, like, okay, they have like a four-step thing. One, take the online course. Two, pass the test. Three, download your certificate of completion for only $49. Four, submit your application, required documents, and fees to the state of Virginia. So what they say they're selling is training to take the, I hear you breathing, somebody, stop breathing, to take the Virginia concealed carry permit course. And that's one of the few states was one of the few states, I don't know that it still is, where you can get a permit if you're not a resident of that state. But didn't you say, Lisa, that you think that's changed?
Yeah, Virginia is kind of confusing. I just went to the state website and of course, immediately want to just click out of it because you know how state government websites look. But but it looks like there was a change last year, I guess. And then early this year, I think they changed to honor permits from other states. But I don't think that means that other states may not honor the Virginia permit. So getting a permit through Virginia isn't going to mean anything if you don't live in Virginia or a state that will honor. And I think even when a state, if I understand correctly, even when a state honors it, it just means that when you cross a state line, you're not going to get, thrown in a cage if you get pulled over and you've got a gun on you. Because I know when I lived in Virginia, I could open carry, like it's very lenient there. But if I crossed into Maryland, oh no, like you don't want to get pulled over in Maryland with a gun on you.
Yeah. And there are states that have reciprocity with other states. Like, for instance, Wyoming's permit is honored in a lot of states, and Washington State's permit is honored in almost no states because Washington's permit you don't have to prove you can shoot or handle a gun safely. Like, you just pay money. It's just collecting money. Whereas the Wyoming one, you have to go to a NRA certified instructor and take a course and pass a test, which is written and shooting and safety. And
so Washington's more honest about it.
Yeah, they're just like, well, we're not providing a service. We're just taking your money. Yeah, we're just selling you your rights back to you in a modified form.
This is government. Just pay us.
I know. Yeah. But Wyoming doesn't even require a permit anymore to concealed carry. There's like 5 states now that have what they call constitutional carry. It's like, it was always Vermont, which really I think is just a loophole. I think because Vermont's very leftist, I think they just never bothered to outlaw carrying without a permit. But Alaska, Wyoming, what are the other ones? Arizona,
West Virginia just passed it,
and Maine. Yep. Maine. Although the governor of Maine passed it and said, like, this will be great. Now we can shoot those drug dealers that come up from New York State.
Oh. Yeah,
both of them. Yeah,
fabulous.
From what I hear, Michigan has put that into the legislature, and they're mulling over it again. But
they're mulleting over it.
Yeah, the current governor vetoed it after, was it Sandy Hook or something else?
I can't remember.
But anyway, so it might happen here. It might not. So they might say you have the right to do what you had the right to do before. So we'll see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
So do we want to keep beating this subject to death, or do we want to move on to something else?
Let's move on to something else. Let's talk about Freedom Fiends, sponsored by Pregnazone. Besides, I'm writing these people and saying you should stop using this picture of me in your ads. I'm on it.
Now
I hate permits.
Are you ready?
People know who I am.
Before we go on to that, I do have a couple of announcements to make here. I'm trying to bring it up. Hang on, bear with me. Blah 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 blah. Okay, 2 announcements. One, the Torrent Archives will go up every 2 weeks instead of every week now.
Yep.
And
thank you.
Antiwar.com, all donations now will be matched dollar for dollar up to $29,000. Go to antiwar.me/pledge to donate, or antiwar.com to donate. Yeah, so both of them.
Good.
Those links will be in the show notes, so everybody can go there and check it out.
Yeah.
Super.
So Pregazone is now the official sponsor of the Freedom Fiends. How'd that happen? It's not really, but at least 2 of us are on it.
Yeah, it feels like it now.
What's up, steroid sister?
Well, I have some kind of unspecified, well, we think we know what it is now, but for a few years now, I've had an unspecified autoimmune disorder that flares up once in a while, and it makes me really, really tired and makes me hurt all over and just a miserable person overall. So I don't have health insurance because I'm an independent contractor. I had a doctor that I really liked back in, what's that?
For the Freedom Fiends.
So I had a doctor that I really liked when I was in Virginia and had insurance, and they were great, and they did a bunch of tests a few years ago and said I had something going on, but we hadn't figured out what yet. They wanted me to see a rheumatologist, and then I started feeling better, and I got transferred back to Maryland, so I moved, and that was kind of it. So for a couple of years, I've been okay. You know, gradually it's been kind of flaring up, and I've been trying to ignore it. But I thought, well, you know, back, I used to write about Obamacare a lot when the ACA was first coming around.
There's a brand of heroin. Then. There's a brand of heroin now called Obamacare. Did you see that?
That was early.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that awesome?
It's probably better than Obamacare. So yeah. So I was writing about that a lot.
It probably works as advertised, unlike Obamacare.
And a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Heroincare.org. Go to the website.
It'll make you forget what your problems are for a while.
Yeah, you'll forget all your pains.
Heroincare.gov. The website even works better.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it does. So I remember, you know, back then a couple of years ago, hearing about doctors who were starting to opt out of the insurance and, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, all of that, and doing their own thing, kind of like old school doctors did, you know, decades ago, where they didn't have insurance companies and bureaucrats telling them what they could do and rejecting tests and telling them how to manage their practice and how to take care of their patients. So it's called concierge care, or they're called private physicians. Yeah, private physicians. And what you do is you have a membership. You know, if you can find a practice like this, you pay a certain amount a year. For me, it was $900 for the year. So I can pay that quarterly, you know, in full, semi-annually, whatever. And that includes all of your visits. It includes a full comprehensive panel of blood work, some other lab tests too, like echocardiograms, things like that. But you also, the big thing that's great about it is it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not, because they're not bound to any of that. They can spend as much time with you as they want. My first visit was about an hour and a half, and we just sat and talked about my medical history. I've never had such a great, I've never not felt rushed like that. And
well, you're going to be feeling rushed right now.
Right now, I'm rushed.
We'll be right back with more Lisa and her trip to the concierge doctor. Yeah. You elitist.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
The name of this episode is going to be Dipcot All the Unauthorized Uses. Because I wrote this company concealedonline.com and said, please stop using. I didn't say please. I attached a screenshot and said, stop using this picture of me. I didn't approve it. Where did you get permission to use it? A bunch of people told me they saw it. It's working against you to use it. I hate permits and people know this is me. I have a syndicated radio show on 30 stations, The Freedom Fiends. I'm going to go on radio and make fun of your company for using this picture. I got an auto reply. We have received your email and created a ticket. Thank you for emailing Concealed Online. Your ticket number is 4373. A representative will be in touch shortly. We appreciate your business.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I wonder what they're going to say when they actually read that. Oh, shoot.
I thought we were on 32 stations.
Yeah. Well, somebody said boobies. No, actually, two of them. One of them was sold and changed everyone on it. And one of them, actually, we're on 31 because two of them went away, two small ones. One of them was sold and became a jazz station. And then we added a station in, Oklahoma City, like a huge station, like 25,000 watts. So it's a win-win this week. We added watts.
Then they should have kept the Fiends on the jazz station, because jazz is a very free-form, spontaneous type music.
And the jazz of talk radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, welcome to the Fiends.
Spontaneous, free-form.
Yeah. All right. So what else, kids?
I always tell people that we're on 32 stations, even when we're at like 36, 28, whatever.
Well, it's an easy number to remember, and we're actually on a bunch more than that, because we're on, there are at least 10, well, let's just call them community radio stations that play the LRN feed.
In the Tri-Yard area?
The most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area. Now, some of them cover whole towns, but they don't have call letters, or they don't have call letters you can look up anywhere. I don't know what that means. I just heard it somewhere.
Because hypothetically, here in Bear Saskatchewan, one of those little what's it called?
A community radio station.
Yeah, a community radio station will go like 1 mile in all directions.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I think it was a mile.
I think there's one of those like in Lisa's town too, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it goes a little, it's a, wider radius here.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if somebody happens to be flipping through the radio dial, just as they enter that part of Bear Saskatchewan, then they could possibly get 2.5 minutes of LRN.
Ooh.
Hmm.
But if they're sitting at home listening to like one of the two radio stations here in Bear Saskatchewan, and then they accidentally like bump the search button on there, and it goes scrolling through, and it finally lands on whatever that roving station number would be, then hey, they could have like all day, all night of LRN without actually using the internet.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's theoretical. So anyway, yeah, Lisa, let's get back to your story with the concierge doctor, where you actually went to a medical provider and were happy, satisfied, and felt that you felt better off.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to nice doctors before in the past, but this, this was a really different experience. It was more casual, but more, it's a more personal relationship. So they're able to see a lot less patients than a typical provider, because you have a membership, so they're not counting on, in whatever income they may get, after insurance decides to pay things. So they have a nice little membership and, a nice little group, and they actually sit and talk to you. So with this practice, and from what I've been reading, it's kind of the standard for these kind of practices is, the doctor gives you their cell phone number. You can call or text them whenever you need to. Their assistant also gives you their contact information for after hours. When you go in, you get, your membership fee includes all of your visits. Well, like I was saying before, your comprehensive lab panel, they go over all the labs with you. If you need prescriptions or additional services that they don't provide, they will help you. If you don't have insurance, they'll help you negotiate and find places that give you cheaper rates for things. Like when I was sitting there in the office with him, he gave me two prescriptions, and one of them was a little pricey. And he went online and looked up this, went to this website and printed me out, or he found out which drugstore offered the best price and then printed me a coupon for it right there in his office. So I've never had a doctor do anything like that before. Yeah, there's more, but it's a very good experience.
And we'll hear more about that after his trip to the market. Michael, could you print some coupons for the listeners?
Yes, some Bipcot concealed carry permits.
Yeah, that would be great.
So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
So Lisa goes to the concierge doctor. It kind of reminds me of that TV show Royal Pains that used to be on USA Network. The concierge doctor up at, what was it, the Hamptons or something like that? Yeah, it was up in the Hamptons. And so you had the guy that was taking care of all the rich people. So, Lisa, apparently you're rich, and I didn't know this.
No. This is something that used to be associated with that. But now the membership fees usually cost around $1,600 a year for people. So the price has gone way down. Now, there are places in, you know, like the Hamptons or L.A., you know, where the doctors charge $15,000, $20,000, you know, whatever the going rate is there for this kind of service. But no, not here. Mine, not even $100 a month. So, and it,
oh my,
you know,
God,
it's
that
cheaper
should be illegal.
Oh my gosh, I know someone. I'm afraid that someone is going to come along and try to shut, you know, these kind of practices down. But I don't see how they would. But then again, with government, you never know.
Well, a number of years ago, there were attempts to do things like this, and I think it's just like. Just like everything else, it's how you word it. It's how you describe what it is that makes it either legal or illegal. But there were, I remember, this was back, probably before Obama came into office and everything, and people were whining and complaining about the cost of health care. Mm-hmm. You know, after all the government interventions that caused the prices to go high, and then they called for more government interventions to make it go higher. I mean, to fix it. Well, actually, that's right the first time. But anyway, there were doctors that were saying, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll do like a membership for $100 a month. You can come in and you get all the services that you need, you know, basic services, office calls, stuff like that. You know, of course, it would be just like your situation where there's charges for additional type things, you know, like the prescriptions, or if they have to do heavy duty work beyond basic providing of care. And it was shut. These were shut down because the way that it was described or whatever was, anyway, the statocrat said, well, that, you know, charging this membership fee kind of resembles a insurance program, and since you're not a licensed insurance provider, you know, either an agent or company, you can't offer this, so people have to go out and buy regular insurance, and they can't use this service. And in kind of what you're describing, though, it operates similar to an HMO, where an insurance company will pay a provider X number of dollars each month to provide care, whether you show up or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read an article where it sort of compared the structure to that. This, you know, some people do have insurance, or they have catastrophic insurance, or they have medical savings plans that they use in conjunction with this. A lot of people use concierge doctors because they want that more personal attention. They want to build a relationship with their doctor and their healthcare team, and they don't want to just feel like a number. You know, I've heard so many people say, well, I go to the doctor, you know, a couple times a year because they don't have any chronic conditions, and the doctor doesn't even remember who they are. You know, with this, they know who you are. The average doctor, I think, has like 2,500 patients. These concierge docs usually keep about 500. So, if that, so they really build a relationship with you and get to know you. And I've never felt, I was waiting for him to like wrap things up and say that I had to go, or he had, you know, another patient coming, but we sat there and talked for about an hour and a half, never felt rushed. I felt really listened to, and, you know, they're at my service. I mean, they kind of act as agents for you. You know, they'll help you figure things out, you know, like, when he mentioned the one prescription he wanted to give me, he didn't even tell me the price. He just said, oh, this one's a little bit more. I think it was like $30. He said, let me see if I can find a place that gives you a better price. And I was so impressed with that, because I don't even know if I would have done that kind of research when I left there. So I didn't even think of it.
You would have.
Really neat. Well,
I know you. You would have.
Probably. Probably. But really, really nice of him to do that. And so apparently there have been some studies done on this kind of this business model for medical practitioners, and they show that overall it tends to save a lot of money, not only, you know, on expenses for tests and things like that, but also long term, because people tend to be healthier because these doctors tend to focus more on prevention rather than just treating you and giving you the next test, the next drug, the next treatment for things. So pretty neat. I'm impressed. I like it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not $20,000 a year.
I'm linking concierge medicine in the Wikipedia page for concierge medicine in the show notes. Scott's going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, it's neat. So I think more doctors are going to move towards this. That's the talk anyway, because of the ACA and, you know, because of, I mean, look, for me to get a plan under Obamacare, I think would have been $500 a month with like a $5,000 deductible. For someone who doesn't really need to go to the doctor very often, that's insane.
Right. Well, and if you look at what insurance is, the whole purpose of insurance is it's a transfer of risk. And it's not set up to provide daily service or monthly service. It's in case humor happens, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point behind insurance. You don't have insurance for your car that pays for your oil changes and stuff like that. You have insurance in case the car gets stolen, in case you get in an accident or it gets totaled out, but not for all the different maintenance things that go along with it. So when you look at why the cost of insurance goes up, and speaking of cost of insurance, that is how much the underwriters and the actuaries figure that the cost of providing this coverage to a person is going to be. So when they do the underwriting, which is a risk assessment, because when you transfer risk, you're giving up the risk yourself and somebody else is assuming the risk, meaning the insurance company. So they're right, putting themselves on the hook to cover the cost of your illnesses and everything. So right, when you're looking at this, originally, health insurance wasn't meant to cover the annual physical and all this other stuff. It was meant to cover the catastrophic things, the accidents, the severe injuries and illnesses. It wasn't for, you know, going and getting simple tests done and things like that. But also, mm-hmm, back then, you didn't have all these expensive office calls because you had more doctors in the office than you had billing people. And now you, right, go to a doctor's office, they have more people in the billing section than they have providing health care. And there's a large cost to dealing with the bureaucracy that goes along with it.
Right, yeah, and a lot of doctors like this business model for that reason, too. I remember reading about that when I was researching this business model, you know, back when the ACA was coming around. And, you know, they don't have to pay, you know, five staff members to understand, you know, all the insurance lingo and all those regulations and fill out all those forms for everyone and make all those calls. So they eliminate all of that right off the bat. So that, you know, enables them to spend their time and their money actually treating patients. I know a couple of medical students right now who are residents, and they say this is what they're looking into doing. They want to practice this way if they can, because they want to avoid that. And I, you know, as most people get into, you know, people don't go to school to become doctors because they don't want to help people. They want to help people, most of them. And, you know, this system allows them to actually do that like they used to years ago. It kind of reminded me, I just watched the Dallas Buyers Club, and in a sense, it reminded me of that. You know, you have this membership, and you get things for that. And you mentioned, you know, how it's kind of working outside of insurance and how they might try to find a way to shut it down. Kind of made, mm-hmm, me think of that model, because that was a very clever way to get around treating people.
I've seen that movie. It's been quite a while, and Derek J was supposed to watch it. That was his homework assignment in preparation for the show tonight. But anyway, he Matthew McConaughey's character, it's a very touching story, really, when you get into it. And Matthew McConaughey lost a lot of weight for that role, and he really looked weird. I barely recognize him. You know what? He still looks kind of weird in the other more recent roles that I've seen him in since then. But his character gets diagnosed as HIV positive, and this is back in the late 70s, early 80s, I think it takes place, back when the whole HIV and AIDS thing was, well, it wasn't even HIV yet. I believe it was just called AIDS back then, right?
Yeah, I thought in the movie that they said that he had HIV, but then I remember his character telling someone, hey, I have AIDS.
This was in the 80s, you said?
Yeah. Mid-80s is actually.
Because in the late 70s, they called it gay cancer.
They called it GRID, I think it was.
Yeah, before they had the diagnosis of what it really was. It was just, they just knew that there was something that gay people were dying of. They called it, literally called it gay cancer. It's not cancer at all.
Yeah. No, now, he wasn't gay. I mean, he was just a horn dog and jumped in the sack with everything at the same time.
Some of his friends, apparently, I dug into this. I wanted to know more about him. Some of his friends have said that he was bisexual. Oh, okay. Yeah, but I don't know if that's true or not. You know, like some, you know how people are. They talk, and especially after he died a while ago. So,
supposedly
he's not here to say.
supposedly HIV jumped from monkeys to humans around 1935. Do you guys know about this?
No.
And it was from
things like that before.
It was from eating monkeys, not having sex with monkeys. But I dated a woman who's said that her dad died of AIDS in 1975, which is like before there was a diagnosis for it. But she's like, he was gay and he was promiscuous, and she, it had all this. It was AIDS, absolutely. And it was like, I never heard of AIDS until like 1984 or 5. I first got tested for it in 84 or 85. That's like, because I was in San Francisco and I was like sharing needles and, sleeping with 7 women a week. So I figured I'd get it done. I'd get tested, and I did.
Yeah.
And back then you had to wait like a month to get the results. Now it's a lot quicker, but it was worrying to wait for the results first time.
Yeah, I got tested in the mid-90s. That's a whole long, crazy story, the reason that I did that. But yeah, I had to wait. I think it was like 2 weeks or something. It was very stressful. Even though I was sure I was fine, I had a little panic, and I got a little obsessive. And I'm like, I need to know. And the doctor's like, oh, I'm pretty sure you're fine. But, if you really want the test, we'll do it. And I was fine, but it's one of those things you hear about, and it's so, so scary. Back then, they knew so little about it, too.
More Freedom Fiends coming up. You won't have to wait a month for us to return, either.
Let's hope not.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
So Lou and Lisa, do you know what drink koozies are?
I do.
What are they?
Keep your drink cold.
Yeah.
And your hand or dry. Yeah. I guess they could.
Yeah.
I've always seen people use them for beer and soda.
If you're drinking, tomato soup in the can cooked over some Sterno down by the railroad tracks. Yeah. Well, there are now for sale really nice Bipcot drink koozies that are $3 each from Scott, our editor, who's editing the show tonight. And you can go to the Freedom Fiends Twitter page, and I just tweeted about it. You can go to the Facebook page, my Facebook page. I just face beefed about it. And you can also just go to the BIPCOT.org site and click over on the right sidebar on recent posts where it says buy BIPCOT drink koozies, KOOZIES. Or if you're hearing this years from now in some kind of archive, you could probably Google in quotes buy BIPCOT drink koozies. They're pretty nice for $3. I mean, they kind of make me want to start drinking again.
Don't tempt me lately.
Oh. Well, the nice thing, Michael, is you could put your soda that still comes in glass bottles in into the drink koozie.
Oh, you can put cans in these too. There's a picture of of cans and bottles in them. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And speaking of people who were passed out from something. Oh, also, there's another picture too. Somebody BIPCOTted Mount Rushmore, Mount Statism.
Nice.
Brian and Kristen, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this last name, STYCZYNSKI. It's got a picture of each of them standing in front of Mount Statism, the president's faces, holding a BIPCOT flag. So now we've got Mount Statism and the Grand Canyon. So we need some more landmarks BIPCOTed, but people are on it. You can get a BIPCOT flag at BIPCOT.org. They're only $16, and they're great. They're 3 feet by 5 feet. That's a really good price with shipping for a flag that you can like hang from a flagpole. It's so big. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it is. I'll have to go to D.C. and BIPCOT some of the stuff there someday.
Probably illegal. Yeah,
I know. Would that be fun, though? That would be a story, me getting chased by
I think the prize is the White House, but, you know, we'll see if
it happens. I'll probably get shot.
Yeah, I know.
Can't get near that
place. I don't know, man.
I can try to get close to it.
is there a bounty on BIPCOTting the White House?
No.
What about the Capitol building?
No, I'm not going to put bounties on any of that. I did make a mock-up today of what BIPCOT heroin bags would look like, though. But, you know, your mileage may vary. So speaking of people who are passed out, Derek J was supposed to be on tonight, and he just emailed me an hour late and said that he said, I don't know what happened. My alarm didn't go off, and he sent me a screenshot. I wrote him back and said, just get on right now. And he sent me a screenshot, and I'm like, I didn't even bother writing back because I'm just going to tell him on the air, don't tell me excuses. I don't need screenshots. Just get on the air, man. I'm not your boss. Well, I do fire people, but I don't pay you, so I'm not your boss. Yeah.
Just tell me. Get right, on.
I'm going to let you kids take over, and people should go buy BIPCOT drink koozies. They're pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I want some. I'll buy some.
I heard that Jeremy's going to have 100 of them for sale at Pork Fest, Fiend Fest, Fiend Fest Somalia at Pork Fest.
That's a good idea. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Really good idea. I'm sure they'll sell.
So have a good time, kids. Take care. Worms.
All right.
Thank you for your service. Bye.
Worms. So you want to go back into talking about Dollar Spires Club? We got a couple minutes here before we go to the market.
Up to you. I thought we talked about it before after I watched it, and you had some interesting comments about how it kind of made the government look really stupid and the free market look really good. Well, and I agree.
Well, my dear, I am going to correct you on one thing. There is no such thing as the free market. That's something that people theorize about because because government. But anyway.
Right. It's a fantasy.
Yeah, what's really interesting is this guy's in a predicament, and he's literally fighting for his life here. So, I guess we'll talk about it in the second hour, and hopefully Derek J did his homework assignment.
I hope.
All right, we'll be back. Worms.
Worms. We'll be right back.
is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Woof woof.
Meow 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 meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite Good Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. This is Lou, the Dear Sweet Bacon Emperor, and I'm joined by Lisa, the Dear Sweet Duck Empress, and the late arrival to the show, our partner in victimless crime for tonight, Derek J.
Meow. Derek.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been forever since I've talked to you, aside from in the break, but you know, it's probably been close to a year.
Well, I've been lying dormant in a government experiment, Lou.
Really?
Yes, I've been preserved.
And you didn't go 500 years like in Idiocracy?
Well, no.
Do you feel like you woke up in Idiocracy?
Yeah, in fact, I traveled through time, and I'm back to tell you that the future is beautiful. The free market reigns supreme. Everyone is engaging in voluntary interactions. People are smarter than ever before. We have technology that allows us to work only 1 hour a week and have a better standard of living than we even have today, thanks to automation and freedom.
Yay!
Okay, and at what point are Hillary and Trump going to get blasted by the Destructo Ray?
The giant meteor.
Yeah.
Sweet meteor of death.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the phrase? We know that time travel hasn't happened yet, or hasn't been invented in the future because nobody's come back to get rid of Trump and Hillary.
Something. Yeah, nobody knows who they are in the future, actually.
Oh, even better. That's fantastic.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
They're just a myth, like Hercules. And like, oh, yes. Back in the day when we had the gods, and there were the evil gods, too. Always stirring up trouble.
Yeah.
Promising free ponies and healthcare.
So Bernie, Trump, and Hillary could be like the Hydra or something.
Killery. That never gets old.
I know. No, it doesn't, does it?
Yeah.
Some people actually get really mad at me when I say that. That's mean. I'm like, it's
good.
True.
It should dig under
it's
their
true.
Skin a little bit.
Yeah.
They probably have some small place in their heart for her murderousness.
I guess they do. I don't understand.
Yeah. Now, that phrase, it never gets old. Well, it all depends on which continent you live on.
Are you in Somalia?
Right.
Yeah. Well, quite frankly, being in the Middle East is a little bit worse than being here in the USSA, but I don't know. I think she's trying to spread equality all around, and that doesn't mean raising the Middle East up to USSA standards.
Worse means, for what? I mean, are you a gangster murderer who wants to impose his religious views on everybody? I mean, hey, maybe that's a good place to be.
I'm not a politician.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm not Killery. I'm just a humble meme maker.
Well, I'm moving to Somalia. I don't care what you say.
And would that be like Fiendfest Somalia?
No, like, yeah. Well, I'm you know, you don't know this yet, but also the capital of the world is Somalia in the future.
Really?
Yeah, all the freedom people moved there because they were told for so long that that's where they have to go.
Hmm.
And they settled.
Did it.
Yes, we settled fiendom there.
Nice. Now is that in Mogadishu or is that in Merca?
Those names don't mean anything in the future. It's all Hamsterville and Wormstown. Those are the new capitals.
That sounds like a red light district.
Lib pair, right? Gross. Well,
there is a town in Somalia called Merca, M-E-R-C-A.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. My first stop.
Yeah, it's strange.
I like the sound of Mogadishu. That's a cool word.
Oh, it is. And they have an international airport there. Nobody can get there because there's no roads, but they do have an international airport in Mogadishu.
Do they have a TSA of their own there?
No, you have to fill yourself up.
Oh, darn. I look forward to that when I travel.
Yeah, so the morality police, you know, they get a little crazy because people are filling themselves up at the airport instead of somebody else.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, and it's not rape when you have a uniform. It's not non-consensual sexual attack when there's a uniform involved. Just remember that.
Yeah, that's an impression I got last year when I had my TSA incident. But that's in the past.
So anyway, yeah, let's go back to the Dallas Buyers Club and sure. Finish off that story. What's really neat, and, you know, a little refresher for anybody that's just checking in right now. Matthew McConaughey's character gets diagnosed as HIV positive, and he's just literally scared to death. He's scared for his life because, you know, back in the early 80s, I think it takes place early to mid 80s, getting that diagnosis was literally a death sentence and generally pretty quickly. And I believe the doctor told him that he had a very short time to live, like a month or two, something like that.
Yeah, they said 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In his desire to survive, he started getting involved in all sorts of things and doing research. And this is before Google. So he's going to libraries and actually looking in books. And he tries to get involved in all these experimental procedures, you know, these different medications. I think AZT was one of them. Mm-hmm. And he gets into one group, and somehow he finds out that he's in the placebo group, which means that he's not getting anything. It's not going to do anything for him. And didn't he also have problems with when he wound up getting an actual medicine?
Yeah, he did, at least in the movie, and I don't know how much of the details are actually are true, but he ended up going somewhere else, I think to Japan, and he got one of the drugs that he, you know, that they were doing clinical trials on, I guess, in the U.S., but I think it was a bad batch, and he ended up having to have a blood transfusion, I believe, or he took too much. I know at one point he got a hold of some AZT, because he couldn't get it through the clinical trial at the hospital, because, like you said, he wasn't chosen for that. So he got a hold of some of it and, I guess, took too much. And at the hospital, they said, where did you get that? You weren't supposed to have it. You had too much in your blood. So they gave him a transfusion, and he kind of got to start over again. But
he had illegal AZT.
right, yeah.
Yeah, so, illegal medicine.
Right. Yeah, illegal medicine.
Now, was this the experimental medicine, or was this medicine already available on the market?
AZT at the time was still experimental. So they were that's why they were doing the clinical trials like they were. And, you know, they had some people on placebo and some people on a pretty high dose of it. Apparently later on, they ended up, you know, figuring out, like, okay, this is too much. And they had to kind of perfect what the dosage would be or how to calculate the dosage for different people. But in the beginning of the movie, I guess they were giving some people too much and people were dying anyway. So, you know, I guess Woodruff was the guy's name, Ron Woodruff. He said, you know what, I'm gonna go and try these experimental things, because what do I have to lose, you know, if I'm going to die either way?
Now, something interesting, what you said was people were getting the wrong dosages. So do you think that actually skews the test results when people are given the wrong dose and they have these adverse side effects? Do you think maybe that causes a medication that would be good if given in the proper dose to get marked as unsafe or non-viable?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I think that still happens with medications. Yeah. I mean, they say that there's an expression, the poison is in the dose. So there are even plants and herbal medicines that used in a small dose are fine, but used too much or use it the wrong way and can kill you. So, Yeah, I think that, and you know, some people say it was a conspiracy and, you know, they wanted people to die, but you know, whenever there's a new drug on market, that's there, it is, we are sort of going to be guinea pigs for a little while they figure out what, how it works and what the dosage is going to be. Now, I don't know if in human studies now, if they give people who are dying placebo, I think now that's considered unethical and they don't do it. Especially when you're not, like, he didn't know, and I couldn't believe that. When I was watching the movie, I'm like, wait a minute, they're giving people placebo and they don't, like, these people are going to die in, you know, a couple of weeks, most likely, and they don't know that they're getting placebo. That's wrong. But I guess if you sign up for the study and you know that's what you're getting into, then, but I'm pretty sure the studies aren't done like that now.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm not that up to speed on there. Oh, by the way, Derek J. got droned. His
I know, I saw.
Downloading Windows 10 or something like that.
But anyway, a few minutes ago. That Windows 10, ugh.
Yeah, so anyway, he's in a desperate situation, and so he decides to start looking for black market medications, and then he gets the idea that maybe the medications aren't really the right way to go. Oh, and by the way, he's going down to, like, Mexico. He's going to places that don't have the same government restrictions and regulations and everything else on the medications that they have here. Like, you go down to Mexico, you can get most of these medications without even a prescription, I think. Right?
Right, you can. And I think that's really interesting. When I was in college, I took a couple of classes that discussed these kind of things, and one was about the politics of cancer. And that one was about cancer treatments and how a lot of how the process in the U.S. to get these drugs approved can be really arduous and very expensive. And, you know, a lot of times it doesn't make sense. You know, there's things that work that aren't getting approved for whatever reason, you know, all the red tape and fees and everything that they make people pay. And then a lot of times the DEA gets in the way, you know, as well. There's a lot of that going on right now with certain things. But yeah, there's
medical marijuana.
Yeah, that and MDMA and psilocybin and some other things. But there, back in the, gosh, I believe it was in like the 50s, there was a doctor who was a veterinarian who, Hoxie was his name, Dr. Hoxie, and he came up with some alternative cancer treatments for people, and, you know, people voluntarily wanted to use them. They'd heard about him, word was kind of spreading about him helping people, and so he did, and of course the AMA, the American Medical Association, pretty much drove him out of the U.S. They just couldn't, you know, we can't have this kind of competition. So he ended up going to Tijuana and opened a practice there. He died years ago, but the practice is still there. You can still go to Tijuana and get this alternative cancer treatment. You know, of course, with cancer, things are a lot trickier. There's not a one-size-fits-all, you know, treatment path that's going to work for everyone.
And we'll be back after this trip to the market, the slightly unregulated market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
As you can tell, Derek J is back from the drone strike, and apparently he was doing meth in his hiatus. Welcome back, Derek, again.
Hey, guys. Yes, I should explain, because this is a teaching hospital thing where professional radio hosts will reboot their computers, their machines that they use to connect to the world, like an hour before the show, just to make sure that any updates or anything that's going on inside your computer where it needs to stretch and do its thing can happen before the show, because my computer decided now it's time to update. Grade to Windows 10 just in the middle of the show. So, you know, teaching hospital, I feel embarrassed, but we move on.
Teaching hospice.
You know those scumbag memes?
Yeah.
Your computer's with the like hat. Scumbag yeah, my computer, yeah.
Windows is scumbag operating system.
Oh, I mean, you wanted to be on a radio show? How about we download this new operating system right yes. now?
I think yeah. now's the perfect time for Windows 10 in your life. have you met Windows 10 yet? Have you read the good book?
I had to restore my computer to factory settings a couple weeks ago. And because it was just all messed up. And I was getting the blue screen of death and these error messages on there. And I can't even remember what the error message was, but I upgraded
from Windows 8. You have taco.
I went from Windows 8.1 up to Windows 10, hoping that would make it go away. It didn't. So I had to restore to factory settings, which took me back to like Windows 8. It took me back to like a year and a half ago when I got
the computer. Back to Windows 95. Would you like to play solitaire?
I wish it would have gone to Windows 7, but my God. So here I've been trying to upgrade to Windows 8.1 for the past 2 weeks, I think it is, so that I can upgrade to Windows 10. Because Windows 8 is just absolutely horrible. It's like, I don't know.
They're embarrassing. I mean, like, why don't they just throw a brick at all their customers? Like, really?
Just nuke them all.
Well, I think I'm going to inject the 12-gauge double-lot hardware upgrade into this laptop once I get a new one.
I want to see that.
Yeah,
office-based style. I'll wait till you get here, Lisa.
Yeah, wait till I'm there. I have to see this. This would be great.
Yeah.
We're going to record that.
Yeah, Michael wanted me to record it and send it to him. And then Bipcat the destruction, or Bipcat the execution, or the purge of a computer.
Awesome. Yeah, that has to happen.
So perfect. Anyway, so yeah, that's the joy of that. So anyway, back to Dallas Buyers Club. Where did we leave off talking about that?
Oh, I was talking actually about the Hoxie Clinic in Tijuana, I think. Okay. Just alternatives, you know, people when you... It's kind of, medicine is kind of funny like this. Science is kind of funny like this. There'll be something that you can really see is working for people, and it might just be anecdotal, you know, like others. You know, we've got like 50 people doing this, and hey, it really looks like it's working, and there's no side effects, and, you know, this is going pretty well, and you know, there's no harm being done. But, oh no, but it's not approved yet. And there's not always logic there. Like, I think that a lot of times scientists or doctors get kind of blinded by they have to have these studies that prove things before they're willing to try them. And that's what I saw a lot of happening in that movie. I'm like, oh no, like, you know, this guy is saying this stuff's working. Look, you know, it's a couple years later and I'm still alive. They told me I was going to die in 30 days. Oh, but it's not approved. The FDA didn't say it's okay. People are so
brainwashed. It's a problem with authority, though. Like, you know, if people own their own bodies, if they own their own lives, then, you know, it shouldn't matter what some guy in a lab coat or some guy at a big fancy desk in Washington, D.C. says about the drug you want to take. Like, it's your choice.
Right.
You know what that mindset really reminds me of? There's a meme going around right now. It's a car crashed into a tree, and it says, just seconds after the driver's license expired.
Yeah, you know.
Because I mean, if your driver's license expires, you're just gonna like crash into a tree right then and there, you know. Or if your the registration expires, or if you don't have your emissions test, you know, boom, you're gonna crash into a tree.
Yeah, the emissions test saga continues. So Derek J may not know the story.
Take a break and talk about this one here.
Okay, so I moved to Maryland a couple of years ago, and I bought my car in Virginia brand new shortly before
that's
I moved
here. Any story that begins with, like, I moved to Maryland sounds like, so I walked into prison.
Pretty much, yeah. It's funny how everyone knows that and they say that. You know, anybody who pays attention to these things is like, oh, why'd you move there? But I'm from the state. My family's here, you know, here in New York. So I wanted to be closer to everybody because I was.
Every time I think I'm out, I know. They pull me back in.
Yeah, it's like that. So when I moved here to get my car registered here, I thought this was going to be an easy process.
And we're.
Okay.
This is what radio sounds like now.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
I am Cornholio. Meow, 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 meow.
Or as Hillary says, I am Clintholio. I need TPP for my bankroll.
Oh my gosh. But anyway.
So, yeah, Lisa, go back to your emissions test and how the government has threatened you.
Oh yeah, it's
and then we'll great. Go back so, to Dallas, the Dallas Dyers Club.
Okay. When I moved to Maryland, it's not as simple as, oh, you just transfer your tags here. I had to pay a 6% extortion tax, excise tax, on the value of my car, plus all the other fees and everything that they slap you with, you know, just for moving to this lovely state. So that ended up being over $2,000 that I wasn't expecting to have to spend. I just didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. I just didn't know.
It's $2,000 for what? What do you get? Different license plates?
Just to register my car here. It's 6% excise tax on the value of your car if you didn't buy it in the state. So if
Is that on the original value of your car?
You know what was really funny about it? The girl at the tag and title place, I asked her that. I said, is this Blue Book value or what I paid? And she said, whatever you want. And I was like, well, obviously, the car is like 2 years old, so I'm going to
My car is value. $1.
Yeah, I know, right?
I went through the same thing with a boat recently. But anyway,
continue. Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So there was that, okay? And I asked her, what else do I have to do? I had to get an inspection. Just your standard inspection. Easy. Car's pretty new. Whatever. Past that. It wasn't expensive. So I go through all those hoops and do all of this. I get my car registered in the state. Then back in January, late January of this year, I got pulled over. And I'm like, what? By a state trooper. And I'm like, I had just left my house. I was like a quarter mile away.
You're about to get the service that you paid for.
Yeah, I'm like, I know that I wasn't speeding, I didn't run any stop signs, I just left my house, what could I have possibly done already to get pulled over? So I'm thinking, I can't believe this, so the state trooper walks up to the window and he's like, did you know that you're driving on an expired registration? No, a suspended registration. And I said, suspended? What do you mean? I just paid, you know, over $2,000 to get this car registered in this state. And he said, you didn't get an emissions test done. And I said, I thought I was on one of those hidden camera shows. I said, you're serious? I didn't get an emissions test. He's like, you should have gotten something in the mail. And I said, no, I've never gotten anything in the mail. He's like, well, how long have you lived here? And we went through that whole discussion. And then I said, how did you know that? We have license plate readers on our cars now.
Oh, yeah.
And I just
most cops have them.
To stop terrorism.
To pull me over for an emissions test. So I get a court date.
New Hampshire doesn't have that.
Oh, see, I need to move.
That you know of.
Right. You'll find out. So I said, okay, I honestly didn't know. And we discussed it. And he said, well, I have to give you a ticket, that whole speech they give you. So he gives me a ticket. It's a $150 fine. Yeah. He says, go ahead and go get the test done. I'm sure you're going to pass. Your car isn't old. And I'm thinking, why did you pull me over anyway then in the first place? So I went and got the test. Of course, it passed. They tried to charge me a $75 late fee for the test, too. And I had not really a tantrum, but I almost had a tantrum in the
emissions testing
place. Oh, my God.
How much of your money is going to go to the government? Like,
I know.
How much? They're not even helping you.
Test. Yeah. So all to protect the environment, you know. And I said, this is a $15 test. You know, I didn't even know that I had to have it. I'm not paying $75 in late fees. I'm not. And I said, you should be able to waive that. And so the guy's like, let me go get my manager. And he comes over. He's like, we can waive it this time. But if you do it again in 2 years, when you have to do the test again, we're not going to waive it. And I'm like, I have to do this again in 2 years. Are you kidding? So, of course, my car passed. The test took like 5 minutes once I got through the whole, you know, talking them into not fining me $75. So I get a court date, you know, because I'm like, I'm not paying $150.
But I'll tell you,
fine.
They really got this mafia thing down. You know, it used to be some guys in suits would come into your business, shake you down for a little bit, rob the register. Now they've got you going to certain places and delivering your money to them.
I know.
Wow, they've really professionalized this mafia ring.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
No, actually they haven't, because the mafia, you don't have to go through all these different steps just to pay the extortion.
Yeah, they'll come to you. Well, this might happen to me. So I didn't pay. I was like, I'm not paying a $150 fine. This is silly. I'm just going to bring the test results to court. Well, I ended up being out of town when that happened. So I called the court to find out what to do. And the lady said, you can just pay it online. You know, if not, you'll get something in the mail. So I kind of forgot about it. Didn't pay it. The other day, I got a letter in the mail saying that I needed to pay it or my registration was going to be suspended again as of June 8th. And I could be fined and or imprisoned.
Yeah.
Like, imprisoned for this whole emissions test thing, which I went and had done in my car past.
Well, so that's redundant. You already really live worried. In Maryland.
Yeah, I know. So they're not worried about the emissions test. They're not worried about the environment. They're worried about their money. They're worried about shaking you down because my car passed. I'm sure they can. I hope they can see that in the records.
Gee, so you must be a millionaire. I mean, I don't know how you can afford all this, you know, fine after fine, living
the
thing, in the...
You know, the things I could do with that money? Yeah, it's definitely...
Yeah, and then on top of it, there's sales tax there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is sales tax.
So there's robbery all around you constantly.
Oh, it's so expensive in this state. But, you know, we also have... I'm very close to the District of Criminals. So there are a lot of politicians and bureaucrats and government types that live in Maryland. So... the property taxes and the real estate, everything's very, very expensive here.
Yeah, well, gee, I would say I'm sorry, but you chose that.
I know. It's voluntary.
This Memorial Day weekend, rather than just having a barbecue and taking the extra day off, I think you should think about all the troops that died to defend your freedom.
The ones that
died to keep this from turning into a Soviet-style police state. the ones that died to keep the East German Stasi from doing its surveillance state here in America. You know, with like license plate readers and reading emails and phone, listening to phone calls and things like that.
Yeah.
You should thank them for their service. And their sacrifice.
Well, land of the free, home of the caged.
Yeah. Or with the burn victims, it's land of the freeloader.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, Derek, you're not going to believe this. I have a netbook that I run the Fiend Phone on, and the only thing I use it for is Fiend Phone, period. That's it. Nothing.
Worms.
I don't check email, nothing. The download Windows 10 thing just popped up and wants a schedule.
Don't let it. I didn't see any kind of pop-up. It just automatically turned off. But, you know, stay on top of that. The worms are in your computer. They're going to try and Windows 10 you. But don't let it happen.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. So
yeah.
I've been fighting it off for a while.
Invasive.
Yeah. It says it's going to happen on Sunday, May 29th or something like that.
So. I cannot believe how rude. I mean, could you imagine any other machine working this way? You're driving down the road in your Toyota Prius, and it's like, no, you're stopped now. We're not going to do an update. You're just going to get in a car accident because we're going to turn everything off, and we're going to upgrade.
One, I wouldn't own a Prius, but two, if your vehicle was run on Windows, you'd have to pull over probably every day and restart the car.
Yeah,
and you would crash for no reason whatsoever, like your license expired.
Yes, yeah. Or your emissions test. You know, boom, yeah. That's it. It's over.
And then you'd have to get a bunch of dick letters and stuff to prevent. Internet or intellectual property piracy when you try to sell your car.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of intellectual privacy and the Dallas Dyers Club, did you hear? I don't know. I read a little bit about this before the show today that they went hardcore on people all over the world who downloaded this movie. And I'm like, shouldn't more people see this movie? I mean, isn't that why you made it? You already made 10x on the investment. You know, it made like, I don't know, $50 million. spent like five
making.
True.
Yeah,
like, come on, just let good enough be, you know. There's going to be some people at your lemonade stand who just come and steal some lemonade. Like, well, you know, it stinks, but what are you going to do? Let them have the lemonade? I don't know.
Yeah, kind of going to happen. Just like when you write books, that happens.
That's maybe a bad example, because lemonade, like, that's actually theft. Copying is not theft, where you make another version, you make another one of something. I'm not taking it away. Yeah, exactly. You're using a magic replicator. Anything away. I'm not stealing a DVD from someone who bought it. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, there was there was controversy about that. I've had people tell me they didn't watch the movie, in fact, for that reason.
Really? Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal.
Just the other day, my friend
Chad
said that.
They went hardcore. Yeah, there were prosecutions in Singapore, the U.S., Australia. I'm reading all about this. I mean, they really cracked down on people. I'm like, hey, don't you guys get it? You made a movie about how, like, government intrusion into peaceful voluntary activity is, like, ruining the world and ruin this guy's life, and then you're going to make a movie and spread that message and then crack down on people who are engaging in peaceful voluntary behavior. Get real.
I know, of all movies, it was that
one. How dare you?
I know. Yeah. I was kind of surprised to hear that. I just heard that like 2 days ago, someone told me.
Well, count on Hollywood to just not get it.
Yep. Oh, of course not.
Mixed messages.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute here.
Yeah. I also heard that they had Brad Pitt slated to play Matthew McConaughey's character. So we were robbed.
Yeah,
they
had
all
a lot of script changes, lots of changes. They tried to make that movie for years and couldn't get it done. There were constant problems. And then Matthew McConaughey liked it, liked the script, because he liked that the guy was kind of, you know, kind of similar to his own persona, someone from Texas, someone who's kind of...
they have that in common, yes. They both sleep with prostitutes.
So. He did lose 50 pounds for that movie, too. They both sleep with prostitutes.
Likely. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to
probably, I mean, I don't know.
Libelous or slander anybody, but just making a joke.
What's really funny about that movie, though, is the way that you see bureaucrats scurrying like cockroaches to try and stop any type of progress. Because what he's doing is he's going out and he's solving problems, and not only is he helping himself, but he's helping other people, and he's making some money off of it. But these people that would not be able to get the medication that they need to stay alive, you know, that whole survival instinct and everything, he's providing a way for them to do it, but the bureaucrats are like, no, that's not approved. Therefore, you must stop. It's better that these people die than be disobedient. And he's solving the problem. And the bureaucrats really look like Feinsteining Schumer heads in this. to put mildly, I mean, they constantly wind up looking like they got egg on their face.
To Freedom Beans with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Freedom Fiends.
Meow, 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 meow.
Redemption of the third act. You know, there is some really good redemption that you get out of the Dallas Buyers Club. What this really shows is the innovation of somebody who is bound and determined to accomplish something. And even though he is just looking out for his own self-interest, he winds up helping out a lot of other people. And something that's really interesting in the movie, I don't know how accurate this is to real life, but he was a very homophobic, I believe racist, just an all-around, pretty much a jerk. But mm-hmm. here he winds up befriending homosexuals and transgender folks and just all these people that he starts the movie off hating. You know, he's
mm-hmm. yeah, because business brings people else. Together.
Yeah, but he winds up working with these people. They become his customer base. One of them becomes his business partner, and dare I even say, dear friend. So what yeah. you have is capitalism, or as close to capitalism as you can get here in the USSA, brings people together that would not normally be together in the first place, out of self-interest. And each time that the bureaucrats come in there,
it is capitalism, Lou. You know, because it's outlawed.
every time that the bureaucrats come in and stomp on his solution to their problems that they caused, he comes up with another one, and he just keeps outsmarting them. And here you have this one guy going after just making millions and billions of dollars of assets and resources and manpower look like the complete idiots that they are. So it's just beautiful. What it really does is it gives me hope that when the USSA healthcare system gets completely socialized and completely governmentized, by I repeat myself, that people like Lisa's concierge doctor and people like Woodruff will be there to provide the solutions to the problems caused by government.
And there's always Mexico.
And there's always Mexico. Tijuana, yeah. where you can catch any disease and get treated for it.
That does make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, Lou. I agree.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
it's like a timeless story of man versus government. And, you know, freedom did win in the end, right? I mean, is that?
Yeah, he didn't let them beat him down. Every time they put up a wall, he found a way to knock it down.
A little bit. I mean.
Yeah, you hear that, Trump?
Thought we're calling him Daddy now. Is that not caught
on
yet?
Are we?
Oh, I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, Daddy. I remember that. Forgot about that.
it sounds dirty.
It does.
Anyway, that's some good redemption.
That's not good imagery. Trump is Daddy. The Dallas Buyers Club, that is a very good, positive.
Yeah, beginning. It needs to become. What we really need is the Everything Everywhere Buyers Club.
Yeah.
It's in Somalia, I'm telling you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, what's really needed right now is a Caracas Buyers Club.
Oh, yeah.
Because Venezuela.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's so sad. Is that in Venezuela? I'm too geography stupid to catch the reference.
Yeah. Caracas is the capital of Venezuela, where they are feeling the burn right now.
Ouch. Man, you have no heart. This is supposed to be redemption. We love the Venezuelan people. I want them to have deodorant and bananas to eat.
Okay.
Billy Mays here with Democratic Socialism. We're offering you gulags, bread lines, famines, starvations, executions, mass graves, and if that's not enough, just wait. There's more.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. That was probably a little bit inappropriate, but anyway.
It's accurate, though.
Well, I'm thrilled this movie was made. You know, with all the government loving that you see out of Hollywood, it's a surprising tale, but it really connects with, I think, a lot of people. Even though we're not mostly AIDS patients, we've all endured a little bit of too much government and been frustrated by bureaucrats saying no when it doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
And we love to hear of a David and Goliath tale like this one.
And before we leave, I got a couple announcements to make. The Torrent Archives will now go up every 2 weeks instead of every week. And currently, all donations to antiwar.com will be matched dollar for dollar up to $29,000. Go to antiwar.me or antiwar.com/donate.
Is that 29,000 bitcoins?
I'm not sure. But go to the show notes, and the links will be there. And help out the great organization of antiwar.com. And to get those show notes and more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms.